When you look at the crypto market, it feels like you're seeing two completely different worlds at the same time.
Oh, absolutely.
On one hand, you have this quiet, almost methodical patience, capital just waiting, building a really clean technical base for what could be a huge move.
Exactly. That's the patient money, right? It's finding its footing. But then on the other side, you get this just brutal, almost instant reality of a total confidence collapse.
Yeah.
That's where you see something like, $56 million in fundraising just poof, it evaporates into a $6 million market cap. The difference is just staggering.
And navigating that exact spectrum from that quiet potential all the way to catastrophic failure. That's really what this deep dive is all about. We're not just here to, read charts. We want to get to the why.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've got some exceptional source material today, really laying out four very different crypto structures. Our job is kind of forensic. We need to pull apart the capital flows. What's the market actually accumulating? What's it just throwing away? And, what's just being used as a tactical hedge when the big players get choppy?
We've mapped out a really focused path for this. We're going to start with a classic consolidation pattern, basically stored energy. Then we're going to pivot hard to a pretty painful example of a post-TGE or token generation event failure.
A structural failure.
Right. After that, we'll dig into the role of privacy coins, specifically how they act as a hedge against what Bitcoin's doing.
And finally, we'll wrap it up with a look at a token that's, fundamentally really strong, but is just showing these clear signs of market fatigue.
It's a roadmap that should give you the tools to tell the difference between real conviction and just speculative hot air, and to see when the market forces even the best projects into a reset.
Yeah, a necessary but tedious reset. Let's jump right in. Let's start with WLFI.
Okay, let's unpack this one. Looking at the WLFI chart, the setup is, it's kind of what technicians dream of seeing. Our sources are highlighting that it's been locked in the super long, tight consolidation range for weeks.
It is. It's the market doing its cleanup job, basically, bouncing reliably between these really well-established support and resistance levels. You could almost draw a perfect box around the price action.
And what is that long sideways base?
Yeah.
What does it actually represent? I mean, it's not just the market being bored, is it?
No, not at all. It's like coiling a spring. I mean, really coiling it tight. This accumulation phase is just clearing out impatient sellers, and it's balancing the early investors taking profit with, slow, methodical buying from new hands.
So it's storing up energy.
It's storing kinetic energy. So when that coil finally breaks up or down, the move that comes next tends to be just as powerful as the consolidation was long. The longer it rests, the stronger the move can be.
Right. So the market is doing the boring but necessary work. It's setting the boundaries. And because traders are respecting those boundaries, it makes the whole setup more reliable.
Exactly. So the current state of WLFI is simple. It's stuck, but it's productively stuck. It's carving out this really precise, predictable channel. And for technicians, knowing where the edges are, that's everything. The support levels are holding firm, which tells you that every time the price dips, patient buyers are right there stepping in. And their resistance is just as solid, which shows people are taking profits at the highs.
And the beauty of a setup like this, which is the sources really emphasize, is that your risk to reward becomes exceptionally clear.
Super clear.
You know exactly when you're wrong if it breaks down below that support. And
Huh?
you know exactly when the energy is being released when it cleanly breaks above that resistance. It's not guesswork. It's just waiting for the signal.
And that patience is everything. If you try to jump the gun, you just risk getting whipsawed around in the middle of that range. The whole structure depends on those boundaries holding.
Okay, so what makes this moment so interesting is that WLFI is, it's starting to show those first little signs of actually breaking out of this range. We're seeing the price challenge that overhead resistance line, like right now.
And this is where discipline becomes so important. The source material draws a really critical line here between just an aggressive breakout and a sustainable one.
The difference between a real shift and a head fake.
Exactly. WLFI absolutely needs a clean retest of that breakout zone.
Okay, so explain what that means, a clean retest. Why isn't it enough for it to just, poke its head above the resistance?
Because a single spike can be anything. It could be one aggressive buyer. It could be high-frequency trading bots. A clean retest that demands that the price comes back down to that level that was resistance.
Wait.
And then it has to bounce off it successfully, proving that it's now support. It's like the market is collectively agreeing on a new floor. It shows all the old sellers at that level have now turned into new buyers.
So it's the structural confirmation. It's the signal that you've successfully flipped resistance into support, and you've got a higher floor to build from.
Precisely. And if that flip is confirmed, then you can start talking about targets. The upside potential is usually calculated based on the height of that consolidation box.
The measured move.
The measured move. That's how our sources get to that target range of 0.142 to 0.147. You're basically just projecting the height of the old base upwards from the breakout point. It's a data-driven target.
I see.
But again, discipline matters. If the price spikes up and then just slips right back into that old range, well, the whole setup is off. It just resets and we're back to waiting.
So the real risk here is you get that initial spike, maybe driven by some narrative hype or FOMO.
Yeah.
But the retest fails because there wasn't enough real buying volume underneath to actually establish that new floor.
And that brings us to the bigger picture here. We can't just look at this technical structure in a vacuum. WLFI is what you'd call a highly narrative-driven token.
Meaning its price is just super sensitive to market sentiment, to hype, to the general mood.
Exactly. So even if the technical base is perfect, the spring is fully coiled, if the broader crypto market gets defensive or, you know, some other shinier narrative comes along and grabs all the attention,
WLFI's breakout could just stall out or fail that critical retest.
That's the challenge. The technicals provide the potential energy, but it's the narrative that provides the fuel. If the market's in a risk-on mood and the story is hot, that breakout will be explosive. If the mood is defensive, that technical base has to be exceptionally strong.
What do you mean by that?
It needs way more volume, a much faster, more decisive bounce off that retest level, just to make up for the fact that it doesn't have that tailwind from the market narrative. The structure has to do all the heavy lifting itself.
That's a really crucial distinction. The structure gives us the map, but the narrative mood kind of dictates how much gas is in the tank.
Well said.
You mentioned that if the narrative is cooling, the technical strength has to compensate. So beyond just high volume, what does an exceptionally strong technical setup need to show at that retest to prove it can stick, even in a defensive market?
It needs minimal time spent at the retest support level. A strong bounce is almost immediate, minimizing the chance for sellers to capitalize on fear.
That's a great reminder. Don't just look at the price, look at the speed and the commitment of the reaction. Okay, let's shift to a radically different structure now, RVV. This one is less about patience and more about dissecting a failure.
Yeah, the story of RVV, it should be required reading for anyone looking at early stage crypto projects. It is a really sobering lesson in the difference between a paper valuation and, you know, what the market actually thinks it's worth.
Let's lay out the core data points from the source material, because this gap is pretty astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
So data point one, RVV successfully raises a staggering $56 million in early capital. I mean, that number alone suggests huge early confidence, probably top tier VCs, a great pitch.
It does. But then you have data point two. The token after its launch is now sitting at a $6 million market cap.
$6 million.
And when you put those two numbers side by side, the gap isn't just big, it's catastrophic. Mm-hmm. $56 million raised versus $6 million market cap. That just screams an aggressive, fundamental collapse of confidence. It's a near-total wipeout of public belief in the project.
I mean, that gap basically tells the whole story before you even look at a chart. The amount of value dilution and the transfer of risk from those early investors onto the public buyers, it's astronomical.
The market is just ruthlessly efficient at correcting overvaluation. And this is a prime example. The initial capital created a valuation so far beyond what the actual utility or demand could ever support.
So why did it happen so violently? What was the core mismatch here?
The diagnosis is a classic post-TGE failure. RVV had this deadly combination. Way too much early capital.
Yep.
And critically little real organic demand from actual users or long-term believers. That early capital just translates directly into immense selling pressure as soon as those investor tokens unlock.
So you're talking about a situation where the supply from the VCs, the seed investors, the insiders, they're all looking to cash out on these massive paper gains.
Sure.
And that selling just completely overwhelmed any natural buying that was coming in from exchanges and retail.
Exactly. Imagine a bathtub filling up with $56 million, but when you pull the plug, the drain is like a massive fire hose. That retail liquidity just can't stop. The outcome was, you know, predictable, even if it was brutal. A rapid controlled bleed straight down to a microcap valuation.
It's the definition of a structural failure.
Mm.
The foundations they built during fundraising didn't match the reality of the launch.
It's the classic case of a massive fundraise creating massive, sustained selling pressure. And very few retail buyers or market makers are willing or even able to absorb all of that at the initial price.
And the chart just confirms this whole depressing story.
Yeah.
It does. You see months of what looks like very controlled selling, just tightening the price down into a wedge shape. This usually isn't panic selling. It's more like market makers or big early holders slowly and systematically offloading their bags without causing a total crash.
And when a bounce finally did happen recently, the source material warns it was mostly driven by thin order books. That's a really critical distinction. What does a thin order book actually mean for the health of an asset?
A thin order book means there are very few buy and sell orders clustered around the current price. It's like, imagine you walk into an auction house. If the room is packed, that's a deep order book. You need a ton of money to push the price of something up.
Right, a lot of competition.
But if the room is basically empty, a thin order book, you only need one or two bidders to dramatically spike the price on really low volume.
So a move that's driven by thin books is basically speculative. It's not a sign of real strength. It's just a lack of resistance.
Exactly. And that makes it incredibly vulnerable to a quick, violent reversal if even one decent-sized seller decides to show up and take profit.
Yeah.
So until RVV can show consistent accumulation, meaning, you know, sustained buying that absorbs real volume at key price levels, it stays firmly in the high-risk category.
Mm.
These little bounces we're seeing are just speculative trades. They're not a structural reversal.
You know, I still wrestle with recognizing that exact point when a strong early funding story, you know, backed by names we all respect, becomes a full structural failure. The speed of the RVV bleed is genuinely humbling.
It is.
It's a reminder that the chart and the reality of supply and demand always, always wins out over a glossy narrative in the end. It's a tough lesson.
Since that recent bounce was driven by thin order books, what specifically would consistent accumulation actually look like on a chart?
Sustained trading volume without large sellers indicates better structural health. That's a vital distinction. True absorption versus just some momentary spike. Okay, let's shift gears completely. Let's look at a token that isn't really trying to be a market leader, but more of a tactical hedge, a rotation play. Zcash or ZEC. ZEC is a fascinating case study. Its recent explosive move tells us less about Zcash itself and more about the collective mindset of traders during specific periods of Bitcoin stress. It's like a mirror for the market's risk appetite.
So we're talking about smart money flows, right?
Yeah.
Actively looking for a place to go when the majors are bleeding out or just going sideways.
Exactly. And the source material confirms that Zcash, or ZEC, recently printed that perfect parabolic shape that traders look for a high beta rotation run. It was a sharp, aggressive, momentum-fueled move straight up.
Not a gentle climb. It was a frenzy.
A frenzy, yeah. And it quickly ran right into its major supply zone, which the analysis puts around 720 to 760 USDT. That area is historically significant. It's a point where there was a lot of selling interest in the past.
And what happened when it hit that historical ceiling?
Swift rejection. ZEC tried to break through, couldn't find the fresh demand it needed, and got pushed right back down. And that rejection, when you look at it next to what Bitcoin was doing at the exact same time, that's where it gets really revealing.
This is the connection. The source material notes that ZEC topped out and got rejected at the exact moment that Bitcoin finally found its bottom after bleeding for weeks.
This is the capital rotation thesis playing out in real time. As soon as Bitcoin hit a credible support level, money just flooded out of that ZEC blow-off frenzy and went straight back into Bitcoin.
Okay, so why that level for Bitcoin specifically? The source material points to the $80,000 to $83,000 zone as the critical demand block. Why was that the level that triggered this whole reversal?
Well, that zone was significant for a few reasons. Psychologically, it was a point of, you know, maximum fear and liquidation risk. And technically, it was likely an area where a lot of heavy institutional bids were clustered, maybe a key moving average or a previous macro resistance that had flipped to support.
So it was the consensus bottom.
Yeah.
The spot where the big players decided, okay, Bitcoin is cheap enough to start buying again.
Pretty much. So the inverse correlation wasn't a coincidence at all. When Bitcoin trends down for weeks, Traders actively rotate into these high beta narratives, tokens that have high volatility, just to try and capture some returns while the majors are down.
And privacy coins have historically been a strong hedge in that specific environment.
Right. It's just liquidity seeking efficiency. When the main benchmark, BTC, is scary or just stuck, capital jumps over to these faster, higher risk assets like ZEC to ride out the storm. They're like a temporary parking spot with explosive potential.
Understanding that dynamic makes reading ZEC's future signals pretty clear then. Its fate is tied directly to Bitcoin's path.
Completely. Scenario one, if Bitcoin confirms its bottom and keeps climbing, showing renewed confidence across the market, ZEC will likely cool off in a big way.
Capital flows back to the majors.
Capital flows back to the majors, leaving the rotation hedges behind. ZEC would probably just range sideways for a while.
And scenario two.
If Bitcoin stalls out, say it hits a new resistance level and pulls back, or worse, retests that 80K support zone again, then suddenly privacy coins like ZEC look attractive again. They have the potential to kick off another rotational run.
So what's the one key technical thing to watch? The decider.
It's whether ZEC builds a higher low during this current pullback. You have to ask. Does it find support above its last significant low from before that big parabolic move?
If it makes a higher low, that shows there's some residual strength there beyond just being a rotation trade. And it could try to revisit that 720 supply zone.
Right. But if it fails to make a higher low, it just confirms it was nothing more than a rotation trade that's already finished its job. It signals exhaustion.
We've established the ZEC strength really depends on Bitcoin being weak or stalling out. Does that reliance on rotation fundamentally limit how high ZEC can go compared to a token with its own organic accumulation?
Yes, reliance on rotation limits its structural potential to drive the entire market.
We're going to take a quick moment for a word from our sponsor, but we will be right back to tackle one of the most confusing dynamics in the market today, how fundamental strength can get totally overwhelmed by market fatigue. Stick with us.
We definitely saved the most contradictory case study for last.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've covered potential, failure, and tactical hedging. Now let's look at a token that's facing the tough reality of deep market fatigue, despite having massive verifiable fundamental strength, Hyperliquid or HYPE.
Yeah, HYPE is a complex puzzle. I mean, on the surface, based on its utility and financial metrics, its foundation is just. It's undeniable.
The source material identifies it as genuinely one of the strongest, most organically growing tokens in the entire blue chip decentralized exchange world.
Right.
It's a legit high utility project capturing real fee revenue.
And crucially, this isn't just theory. The project has these aggressive ongoing monthly buybacks. That's capital flowing directly and systematically back into the token to support the price. This is committed demand.
And we're not talking about small amounts here.
Not at all. We're talking about monthly buybacks hitting hundreds of millions of dollars. These are institutional scale capital injections designed to increase demand and reduce the circulating supply. Whoa. I mean, imagine scaling that kind of committed capital flow month after month, and the price still can't break and sustain higher highs. It just speaks volumes about the sheer amount of selling pressure this asset must be absorbing.
That's the ultimate contradiction, isn't it? When a token has that much programmed institutional buying pressure and it still fails to break out, it suggests that the sellers, or just the defensive mood of the market, are overwhelming even that massive sustained demand.
It tells us the current seller volume must be truly staggering. And that leads you to the question, who is selling enough to counteract hundreds of millions in buybacks?
It's probably not small retail investors.
No, you're looking at large-scale distribution, early VCs, partners whose tokens have unlocked, or maybe even institutional traders who are just de-risking their exposure to crypto as a whole. It points to a macro decision to reduce exposure, and they're using those buybacks as convenient exit liquidity.
So let's look at the technical evidence of this slowdown. Despite those huge capital injections, the chart clearly shows repeated lower highs forming since September.
And lower highs are the market's technical way of saying, I'm running out of steam earlier and earlier in each rally. Every attempt to rally just fails to reach the previous peak. That signals a systemic weakness in momentum.
At the same time, the price keeps getting pulled back to this key historical demand block right around 28 to 30 USDT. That zone has been reliable support for a long time. It's the market's anchor.
But here's the critical warning sign from the source analysis. Every single bounce from that $28 to $30 support level is progressively weaker. The recovery rallies are slower, they're less impulsive, and they hit heavy selling pressure much sooner.
The buyers are getting tired.
The buyers are getting tired, or their capital is just getting more defensive. So the overall diagnosis is pretty clear. Capital flows are tightening up everywhere. Market makers, even the ones managing the buybacks, are probably reducing their risk exposure. And globally, retail confidence is fading for anything that isn't, you know, Bitcoin.
Liquidity has become just ruthless in how selective it is. When the market leaders aren't printing fresh new highs, the appetite for even the strongest altcoins just shrinks dramatically.
HYPE is fundamentally strong, no question. But it's structurally fatigued by this defensive market environment. It's just hitting a macro headwind that its own internal demand can't fully overcome right now.
And the challenge that tokens like HYPE are facing is, it's universal when the market gets like this. Even fundamentally amazing projects struggle when overall liquidity demands near-perfect conviction.
Yeah, and for alts to really run again, they have to abandon this idea of a quick recovery. Yeah. They've got to do the necessary boring work. They have to build a clean new accumulation base, that long sideways pattern we saw with WLFI, and just wait for the overall market volatility to reset.
HYPE is trying to do that now. You can see it attempting to form a potential double bottom structure right around that crucial $28 to $30 support zone.
Which is a classic reversal pattern.
A classic, but it needs specific hard confirmation to prove that the fatigue is actually over.
And that confirmation requires two things. First, a strong reclaim of the mid-range, getting the price decisively back above the midpoint of the structure.
Right.
And second, a decisive break and hold above that descending trend line overhead. You have to break that established pattern of lower highs.
Until we get that confirmation, the disciplined approach, like the sources suggest, is just patience. And if you are accumulating, you do it strictly at that established support zone where the market has historically shown the most demand.
Chasing these weak bounces is just asking for frustration.
Since this fatigue is coming from market makers and large sellers, what specific action does a market leader like Bitcoin need to take to fundamentally change the market's risk appetite for even a blue chip like HYPE?
We need a major market leader to print new highs and restore overall confidence.
And that brings us to the end of our analysis of these four really distinct assets. It covers the full spectrum.
So let's synthesize these four stories. We've seen potential, failure, hedging, and fatigue. And taken together, these four tokens really tell a comprehensive story about where capital is flowing right now.
Yeah, we looked at structural failure with RVV, a fundraising win that became a market tragedy because the foundation just wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
We saw structural potential with WLFI coiling up, just waiting for that confirmed retest, rewarding patience.
Then there was the tactical hedge with ZEC, showing how those rotation trades can thrive when Bitcoin is stressed.
And finally, that deep market fatigue with HYPE, where even hundreds of millions in committed buying couldn't overcome the broader institutional selling pressure.
The one theme that really connects all four of these is this idea of selective liquidity. The market isn't liquid everywhere. It's defensively focused, and it's highly critical. Investors are demanding clean, undeniable, structural, proof successful retests, confirmed higher lows, sustained accumulation before they're willing to commit capital.
And that discipline applies no matter what the underlying utility is, or even with huge mechanical forces like the HYPE buybacks. If the structure is weak or the market mood is just defensive, liquidity will simply stay on the sidelines and wait.
It's a market that rewards patience and structural validation, and it severely punishes anyone who chases quick momentum or, you know, believes a narrative that the chart just can't support.
I'd encourage you, as you're looking at your own charts tonight and tomorrow, to filter your analysis through that lens of structural patience versus just narrative momentum.
Yeah, can you really tell the difference between a token that's building a robust, verifiable base and one that's just riding a short-lived rotational flow on thin order books?
Exactly. And maybe consider this as you head into the next week.
Mm-hmm.
In your own analysis, are you chasing a short-term narrative, hoping for that quick excitement? Or are you waiting for the market to do the tedious but necessary work of building a validated structural base that proves real commitment?
The difference between those two approaches often determines your long-term success in markets like these. They're just very selective and defensive right now.
Thank you for sharing your extensive source material with us for this deep dive. We really appreciate you trusting us to unpack these complex flows.
Yeah, this was great. We'll catch you next time.